So Brian Little has gone through a series of tests over the last couple of weeks. And while there's been some really good improvement in there, the feel from the medical community is the amount of time that he's going to need to safely heal is going to take us through the rest of our hockey season. He also has a procedure then that we were, you know, possibly hoping to put off to repair the eardrum that will have a three-month rehab to that, kind of a no-flying situation. So that'll happen in the near future, but Brian won't play this season.
You know, that's tough on an athlete. Did he kind of have anticipated that this was coming, or did Brian Little, we haven't talked to him, but is he,
well,
did
no,
he think
I,
he was
I mean,
going to play this season?
Yeah, I mean, you can ask Brian that. There's the hope that this thing's going to heal at a certain rate, and that's going to allow you to come back and play, so that's the player's hope, and there has been good progress in his healing. It's just you get a lot of tests done, and you get a lot of people to look at it. The rate of healing says, and because of the injury, there's no, we're not putting this player at any risk. We're not going to, you know, wait to the very end and say, yeah, you're close. It's also in part to the procedure that he does have to have, that the smart thing for Brian, the person, and Brian, the hockey player on the Winnipeg Jets, is just not to have him play this year.
You had him for a short window there.
Seven games.
And he had 5 or 6 points in that window, and it's a player that's been a key part of this organization.
Yeah.
I mean, you've planned around this. You've had contingency the whole season without Brian. But
right.
What does this finality do?
Well, we've—I would say almost nothing, because we've operated under this environment for so long. We've kind of explored a whole bunch of different things to how to best handle it, and then so we do have a plan of what we'll do going forward. The question of whether Blake stays at center, do we need to get him out to the wing, what we do, we're going to answer that, not as a permanent solution, but we're going to find those six players, especially, that have comprised now, and I'll put Andrew Kopp in that mix as a center iceman. We'll end up the bulk of the time staying together. We'll just move the pieces around a little bit.
Just a short one, I don't think lots of guys want to talk, but with the two losses at home, you clearly weren't thrilled with last night. Is there an impetus then to maybe for tomorrow night? You've showed an interest in Chipazov playing. Is there other moves you've contemplated for tomorrow?
Correct. But I'm not the player that I take out. If that happens, is not going to be the reason that we lost that game, right? You're not looking to bring a guy up who's played in the minors to change your fortunes. If you look at anything I say, we lost the game, so that's the only thing that matters, and we want to move off from that. If we're going to do quality offense again, 5-on-5, so their two best chances came on our power play in the game after that, even with what I thought was a perimeter offensive game, we're still down the pipe 6 times, right, and the chances to tie it. So there was, and I talked about it last night, there were things that we did that kept us from getting more. We're not necessarily going to get better chances than Blake down the pipe or those chances that we did have in the slot, but you want to get a few more of those. And we didn't give ourselves the chance to do that as well as we need to. It would be almost the same as the first period against Chicago versus the second and third period. That's the game that we want to look like playing, and that's our focus. So we take those two losses that we just had and try to relate them to our game tomorrow night.
You expressed concern last night. The seam passes at this time of year, and just why you're not shooting the puck, I suppose. Why is that? Like, why are we at game 60 and maybe are guys just gripping the sticks too tight, or are they trying to force offense?
No, I think it's you've had success, and you've got a certain style of offensive guy, and we've had success moving pucks into holes and getting chances, and we've. You know, been a team for a while that was willing to be outshot in a lot of ways, and we don't want to. You put handcuffs on skilled guys that say everything has to go to the net. That's not smart either. I mean, you make those plays. But what we didn't do well last night is adjust to the game that was being played against us and understand there were going to be quite a bit fewer of those, and we forced it a lot. Right? We got hung up in the neutral zone trying to make plays to the inside that weren't there. You're going to see that again against Chicago. You see it at this time of year. Most definitely see it in the playoffs. It's the shift in the game. And I had very much liked where our offensive game was going from the break on. I thought we were far, and simple doesn't imply a lack of creativity or a lack of skill. It's what's there for you. Are we adjusting to what's there? So you will see it. This is, again, not an excuse, but young players go through that process, especially skilled ones that have had success making those tic-tac-toe plays, understanding that in the National Hockey League, the other team gets paid too. You got a veteran group on the other side. You got three of those top four guys played in the World Cup, two on Team Canada. They're going to be very difficult to beat at the line. And they were last night, but we were fairly stubborn in that.
23 games left, I believe. When do they become must wins? Are there a point in time?
Well, you can sell those now, right? We're doing that now. That's how I'm writing it if I'm sitting in your chair, right? Everyone is a must win. Every win is fabulous, and every loss is devastating. And then you get off the carpet. So what's the smart coach piece? The last one? If every season is a must-win game for every NHL team who's ever played, the last game is a must-win. We are 4-2-1 since the break. We got to get reset on that again, and kind of if you can play at that rate, you got a real good chance of making it.
When you're weighing the pros and cons of having Blake at center or wing, what are you missing out on not having him on the wing?
It's his natural position. There's a certain energy burn for him at center ice. You spend more, especially with the style of game that he plays. I also, your forecheck isn't quite as... Your wings get in on the forecheck, especially if you change sides. Your wings are far more effective or important on the forecheck. And he's, you know, at center, you've got to be patient in the defensive zone, bringing the puck up the ice, so you're slowing your game down a little bit to make sure that you get your exit and into the entrance. So you miss that size on the walls.
You've got Blake, since you're extended, you've got Blake well for a number of years based on his contract. When you take a player of his age and his ability and how he's able to push, does it ever factor in the duration that you have him for, potentially not wanting to have him at center because you're looking at potentially harder miles and how that affects him down the road as a player?
No, we wouldn't look that far down the road. We truly wouldn't. I mean... Blake is one of his great strengths is he understands where we're at, looks at the lineup and knows. You know, the day Brian went down, we just fired a text to each other. It was the exact same one. Hey, he said, what about me at center? I said, how would you like to play center? And he understood. We needed him to go there. What may have changed is the emergence of Andrew Kopp, his game, the evolution of his game, that we might be able to get him back out the wing. I think what you're going to see is that you'll look at a 6-7 player block, and there's going to be some movement because we're not going to be able to let a line get stale for four games, right? We're going to have to kind of re-energize those lines and make sure that we can get some complementary pieces together.
I had a conversation with Andrew at the beginning of the year and talked to you about him wanting to get more involved offensively, and it seemed like at the beginning of the year he had opportunities to do that and maybe didn't quite cash in on them the way he would need to or the rate he would need to in the spot he was in. But it sure seems like he's found that part of his game. What have you seen from him that's allowed him to find that offensive spark that he's always wanted to show but maybe haven't been able to?
Right. All players come into the league wanting to show that. What he's done is a slightly different route, and I think he'll tell you that I may have curtailed that in his game by the role that I gave him, but he is exceptionally good in that role. Now, what's gone on here is he's developed his game, right? He's faster, he's stronger, his reads have always been very good, and he's got a good set of hands in a certain style of play. If you can take that guy and then get him with more offensive players, but he doesn't change his game, then you got something, right? What his strength is, his defensive reads, and in part because of that, his offensive reads are very good. Where everybody is on the ice, what his job is, what his focus is, always been excellent right from the day he showed up. Players, and there are other offensive players here that maybe don't have the same defensive component, want to show you that offense, then they force plays. Andrew, what we're hoping for is pass through that stage, and he's still just going to make the right play based on what's around and not worry about showing people what he can do. And then he does have the hands that can take the puck backhand and score the game winner the way he did the other night. That confidence, that developing. But what will make him a great offensive player is the rightness in his decision-making, not forcing more offense to show people.
Paul, what's the latest with Lowry, Perreault, and is Pullman okay? Look like he left early. I know it was optional today. But...
Yeah, fine. We got the cold running through, so we're just keeping a few guys off the ice. Pullman's fine. I think we're still – Lowry's still week to week, and Maddie's probably at that as well, but I think Maddie comes back before Adam.
What was your take on the last Kane hit on Pionk?
Yeah, you don't like it. They got a call on it. That's right.